Bibles this morning and open up to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. And we're going to pick up this morning at verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. He says here, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." We want to spend most of our time, probably all of our time, talking about these two verses here today. You can see that the Apostle Paul, and indeed God the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture, places a pretty high importance on the clarity of the gospel. And I trust you will recall from last time that what the Apostle Paul is concerned about here is that there were those that were spreading this other gospel, which is not another, around the Galatian territory and, of course, now certainly all over the world. And that other gospel, which was not another, if you will go back to verse 7, he says, which is not another. It's not another way to be saved. It's not another legitimate good news. What was happening is this. It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You want to remember that this another gospel, which is not another, it's not another good news. It's not a gospel. It's not good news in the sense of, say, Eastern mysticism or Buddhism or Confucianism or Islam or that type of thing. It's rather, they were taking the right gospel. You can see it says they're perverting the gospel of Christ. They're taking the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Son of God came to this earth in human flesh, died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And they're perverting that message by adding, by tagging something on to the end of that message that winds up making it a salvation by works. That the only way that a lost person can avail themselves of the benefit of the death and resurrection of Christ is by some kind of work that he does. Such as, well, all the modern stuff today, you know, commit your life to Christ, make him the Lord of your life, be circumcised, keep the law, obey, perform, get baptized, stuff like that. Paul says that's a perversion of the gospel of Christ. The only thing that a lost person can do to avail themselves of the benefit of the blood of Christ is just believe it, just faith. Faith is not a work. Faith, that you've heard it said before, faith is the only thing that a person can do without doing anything. And if you'll hold that verse in Galatians, go to Romans chapter 4 here. Look over to Romans chapter 4. And notice how Scripture makes it very clear that faith is not a work. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 4. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." See that? You see in verse 5 how God, the Holy Spirit, teaches us that believing is not a work. To him that worketh not, but believeth. So if someone says that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and if you'll trust the blood of Christ, then that split second, if you'll put your faith in the blood of Christ, in what Christ did for you, the person and the work of Christ, that split second, God will save you. Well, that's the right gospel. That's the right message. That's the truth. But if someone comes along and says, Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, shed his blood for your sins, and if you'll commit your life to Christ, or if you'll get baptized, or if you'll keep the law, or if you'll do better next time, or all those kinds of things that people add to that, well, that's how the gospel gets perverted. It's perverted, it's taking the right message, but putting a tag on the end of it. that implies or teaches or says that there's something that that lost person has to do, human works-wise, in order to benefit themselves of the shed blood of Christ. When the only thing that a lost person is told about how to avail themselves of the benefit of the blood of Christ is just to believe it. It's that simple. And I know people fight with that. I know they say it can't be that simple. Friends, it has to be that simple. It better be that simple, because if it's not, you ain't getting in, period. It is truly that simple. That's what makes it a gospel, the gospel. There would be no good news in it at all if you were told that Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again the third day, and in order for you to avail yourselves of the benefit of that, you had to do all these things. You had to perform, you had to do human works. You can't do works to get saved in the first place, friends. So what would the good news be? What makes it good news is not simply that Christ... Listen, if Christ died for your sins and paid the full price for all of your sins, but if you don't have any way of being benefited by that, there's no good news in that to you. Do you understand that? If Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, came down here in human flesh, died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, but if there is no way for you to actually benefit from that, in other words, if there's no way for you to receive the forgiveness of your sins and avail yourselves of eternal life that He provides, then, friends, there is no good news in that to you. What's good news about it is that the merit, the value of the blood of Christ is made available to you and me, to any and all, and it becomes ours the split second and moment in time that you simply trust that it is so. That's what makes it good news. It's available, and it's available to you, and it becomes yours when you simply believe it. That's what faith is. You just believe what it says. So those false teachers were taking the right message, but they were putting a tag on the end of it that was making it impossible for a lost person to avail themselves of the benefit of it. But so too, that same concept is put on the life of a saved person. They take the same message, yes, Christ died for your sin, buried and rose again the third day, but now that you've trusted Him, now you have to do, and then fill in the blank. And it's still a perversion of the gospel, friends. I know we've said this many times, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating, that if you add anything to the finished work of Christ, either for your justification or for your sanctification, it is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. If you say, well, now that you're saved, now you have to, and then you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that to stay saved or keep yourself saved or prove you're saved and so forth, once again, you're perverting the good news. What is the good news if you get saved, but later on you can get lost because you didn't maintain? What's the good news in that? What exactly was the good news in that? News that comes along and says, well, God will save you until you do this. Well, then what did you actually get saved from? You know? There's no good news in that. The finished work of Christ, we call it the finished work of Christ because that's what it is. It's finished, and the offer of the finished work of Christ is available to both the lost man and to the saved guy. Paul says in Colossians, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, well, you received Him by grace through faith, so walk ye in Him by grace through faith. Okay? So you want to remember that. Now, that's some review from last time, and so look what Paul says now at verse 8. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There are several things that I want to comment on these two verses this morning that just depend on how much time we have. First of all, it's important to recognize that when the Apostle Paul says, but the we, he says it at verse, but the we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Paul himself, Paul includes himself in the we. Did you notice that? Verse 8. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul includes himself in the warning in the verse. Now that's instructive for a number of reasons. One of which would be the fact that if you want to find out what gospel, notice he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. So, he's making reference to that which he had already preached to the Galatians, as well as that which he would preach in the future, from the time he writes Galatians. Let me say that again. Since he says we, he includes himself in the verse, and he says that which we have preached. That means whatever gospel Paul was preaching prior to Galatians, that he preached to the Galatians prior to the time he writes the book, must be the same gospel he's going to be preaching after he writes the book, or else he himself would be under the curse. Let me say that again. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you probably think I understand the significance of what you're saying. Whatever gospel it was that Paul preached to the Galatians in the first place must be the same gospel he preached after the fact, because of the very warning in the passage there. Now, the reason that I'm emphasizing this and talking about this is sometimes you'll hear that people say that, well, Paul preached two different gospels during the Acts ministry. And there's a big movement even in the Grace Movement. There's a number of people in the Grace Movement that say that. And I should clarify when I say there's a number of people in the Grace Movement that say that, a particular branch and so forth. So, hear me out very carefully. Don't just run off and repeat what I say without thinking about what I'm saying, please. Don't misrepresent me, and we don't want to misrepresent anybody else. Okay, so please hear me out here. If what you are saying, if when you say Paul preached two different gospels, if what you mean by that is that during the early part of Paul's ministry, when he did not yet have, in fact, very, very, very early on, such as Acts 9 through 11, that the Apostle Paul pretty much confined his ministry to teaching that Jesus was the Messiah, and doing so, supporting that out of the Old Testament. Like when he went to the synagogues and preached that Jesus was the Christ. And then, when Paul is out among the Gentiles, he now is preaching the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. If that's what you're saying, okay, I don't have a problem with that. Because the fact is that when he went into those Jewish synagogues, this is in the early part of his ministry, when he went into those Jewish synagogues and he opened and alleged out of the scripture that Jesus is the Christ, yes, he did say that. He did preach that. He did teach that. But as soon as he would demonstrate that Jesus was the Christ, he then would go on and also demonstrate from, for example, passages like Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. So if what you mean by the statement that Paul preached two different gospels during the Acts ministry, and what you mean by that is simply that when he was with the Jews, he preached Jesus was the Messiah, and then out among, and then whenever he would leave the synagogue and go out to the Gentiles, he preached, you know, the blood of Christ and so forth. All right, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily have a problem with that, although I think that, well, you've got to be very, very careful when you say that. But from what I have read and heard, those who preach that Paul is preaching two different gospels during his Acts ministry, that's not what I'm hearing them say. What I'm hearing them say is that during Paul's Acts ministry, Paul preached two different gospel messages for salvation. Let me say that again. What I'm hearing them say, and what I don't agree with at all, is that Paul is preaching two different gospel messages for a person's justification. That he's preaching one message up until about Acts chapter 20 for a person's justification. And then at about Acts 20, then he starts preaching the gospel of the grace of God for a person's justification. So that they have Paul preaching two different salvation messages, two different messages of justification during Paul's Acts ministry. Now, again, you can see right here in Galatians why I personally have a great problem with that. At verse 8, Paul writes the book of Galatians somewhere around Galatians chapter 16, maybe 17 at the latest. Certainly after Acts 15, okay? So, and his first apostolic journey in Acts 13 and 14 is when he initially went to the territory that we now would know as Galatia, that was known as Galatia, back then known as Galatia. So, he says at Galatians 1:8, but the we, so he includes himself in the we there, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, past tense, have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So in verse 8, you have a clear reference to that which Paul had preached, because he says that which we have preached, past tense, and you have a clear reference to that which he will continue to preach in the future, because at verse 8 he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preaching the other gospel. So you have what he preached in the past and what he preached in the future as the gospel. And he says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If the gospel message that the Apostle Paul preached after, say, Acts 20, or wherever you want to put it, wherever you want to place the marker, if the gospel message for justification that Paul preached changes after that gospel message that he preached to the Galatians on his first apostolic journey, then he himself would be under the curse and the verse. I hope you follow what I'm saying. Okay, I know there's some that are going to still argue and so forth, but I mean, that's okay. You know, it's what the verses say. Paul clearly says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If the gospel message for salvation that Paul preached to the Galatians in the first place, on his first apostolic journey, if that changes, say, Acts 18, Acts 19, Acts 20, wherever you want to put it, typically they put it in Acts 20 because that's where Paul uses the terminology, the gospel of the grace of God. If that changes, then Paul himself would be under the curse in the verse. He says in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received. So obviously that they had already received. If someone comes along and changes the gospel message compared to that which Paul preached to the Galatians in the first place, that which they received, past tense, and that would have to be Acts. Acts 13 and 14 is when Paul goes to the Galatian territory the first time. And Paul says, let him be accursed. So that means that if the gospel of the grace of God is a different gospel than the gospel which Paul preached among the Galatians, and if you and I today are preaching, therefore, the gospel of the grace of God, which evidently that's what we're supposed to be doing. I don't say evidently in the sense of doubting it. I mean, that is what we're supposed to be preaching. But if you're saying that the gospel of the grace of God is a different gospel for salvation than what Paul preached to the Galatians, then you and I today, by preaching the gospel of the grace of God, would also be under the curse. He says at verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach, so that would be from there forward, including you and me today, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, past tense, let him be accursed. See, you know, friends, I trust you can see the problem. Now, second thing I want you to notice is that you'd have to ask the question, okay, well, what gospel did these people believe? What gospel is it that we should be preaching? Well, it's interesting because you can see it and find it right in the book of Galatians itself. For example, this would be, let me just kind of point out a couple of things. If you go to Galatians chapter 2, go to Galatians chapter number 2, and I'm going to start at verse, I'm going to start at verse 11, Galatians 2:11. A couple of things I would like to identify here. The book of Galatians tells us the gospel message that we need to be preaching today. What's the insight it gives us here? Galatians 2:11. He says, but when this would be after the events we're going to read about now happen after the so-called Jerusalem Council, after Paul went to talk to Peter, James, and John, and they gave him the right hands of fellowship and so forth. And what happens is that Peter comes up to Antioch at verse 11, where it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I was stood under the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Okay, notice. Peter goes to Antioch. His conduct, he's eaten among the Gentiles. So his conduct is demonstrating what? His conduct is demonstrating that the middle wall of partition is down and that he knew so. Okay, got that? But when these Jews come, he separates himself, and now he makes a distinction that had been eliminated by God. He himself puts the distinction back up because of fear. And other Jews dissemble likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now watch verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Okay, now we just got a huge clue here. The truth of the gospel says there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Peter's conduct initially demonstrated that to be so. But when these other Jews came, he separates himself, and his conduct says the middle wall partition is up. His conduct says that middle wall partition is in place. His conduct says that there is difference in God's eyes between the Jew and the Gentile. But the truth of the gospel is there is no difference now in the dispensation of grace. So you get a huge clue there about what gospel Paul was preaching. He says, verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now you got another clue. The gospel of the grace of God not only says, the gospel we're supposed to preach today, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the finished work of Christ today says, there is no difference between the Jew and Gentile, the middle of partition is broken down. And if you come along and try to make a difference, try to add a difference, and try to compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, that's a false gospel. That's another gospel. It's not good news. It's not the truth. To try to compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, conveying the concept that God still holds those Jews in favored nation status, and there's some things you got to do to be right in the eyes of God. So you can see that the good news that Paul was preaching among the Galatians there was that there is no difference, that middle wall of partition is broken down. But not only that, let's keep reading. He says at verse 15, we are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, and only your King James Bible is going to say of right there, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And once again, only your King James Bible is going to say of right there. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Okay, so next thing you know, the gospel that Paul preached to the Galatians is a gospel message that says that justification is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Christ, not by the works of the law. That because of the faith of Christ, because of his work on the cross of Calvary, justification is now available It's a legitimate, available offer to anyone who will place their faith in the blood of Christ. And once you place your faith in the finished work of Christ, then because of the faith of Christ, you get justified. All right? Sounds pretty good so far, right? Now, look at verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? He says, if after I've become saved, if I find sin in my life, did that sin come as a result of Christ ministering that in my life? No, that's not what happened. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I go back to the law to try to stop that sin. I just make myself a transgressor. I don't make Christ the transgressor, or I don't make the offer illegitimate. Then he says at verse 19, for I through the law, this is I now a saved person, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. There's a saved person. So that same gospel message that says the middle wall of partition is broken down, Jew and Gentile are on equal footing, all must come the same way, by faith alone in the work of Christ alone. And if you'll have your faith, if you place your faith alone in the work of Christ alone on the cross, you'll be justified. And not only will you be justified, but you've also been made dead to the law so that you can live under God. Therefore, you live by grace through faith alone and nothing else. By grace through faith alone. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, friends, if that's not the gospel of the grace of God, then what is the gospel of the grace of God? Would you say that the gospel of the grace of God is that God will save you completely, totally by his grace the split second you trust the finished work of Christ? And that when you trust the work of Christ for your salvation, you're justified, Christ is your life, you belong to him forever, and you live in grace. Would you say that's the gospel of God? Is that fair to say that? I think so too. That's what we just read here in Galatians. And that's what Paul had already taught the Galatians. He's not saying some new thing here in the book about that he hadn't taught. Because he says, that which we have preached, past tense unto you, and that which we're going to preach, future. So you can see what the book of Galatians, you can see in the book of Galatians what the gospel message that Paul preached among the Galatians was. It was a message that came along and says to those Galatians, those Gentiles, in fact, Jew and Gentile alike, that there is no middle wall of partition. It's been broken down. And that because of the faith of Christ, because of Christ's faithfulness to the Word of God, trusting the Father to raise him from the dead, trusting the justice of God to accept his shed blood as the propitiation for our sins, that God raised him from the dead, and now the righteousness of God is made available to everyone. And if you'll simply believe that, if you'll simply trust that that is so, about the person and work of Christ, about the faithfulness of God, the Father, then that split second, you get eternal life. You're justified. You get eternal life. You get righteousness. It lasts forever. And now Christ is your life forever. You're not under the law, but under grace. Friends, that's wonderful news. Man, oh man. Good news. That's the gospel. And you can see why Paul, and I should say God the Holy Spirit, is so absolutely insistent upon keeping that gospel message clear. Because that gospel message is all about Christ and his finished work. It's not about us. That kind of gospel message is about his work, his faith, his making righteousness available, his life in us, our simply being the recipients of it and being grateful, thankful to God for it. That is indeed good news. So you can see in the book of Galatians itself what the content of the gospel message was that he preached to the Galatians. So once again, it's pretty clear that Paul isn't changing that message later on. But the same message he preached here to the Galatians is the gospel of the grace of God. Doesn't change. Now, there's a third thing that I would like to point out about these few verses here. I've got one of the new translations. Let me open up a different one as well. I want to double check something here. I want you to follow along in your authorized version, and I want you also, if you happen to have a New International Version, you could follow along as well, but you don't need to because I'm going to read it. This is. Let me see what edition is this, because nowadays they have so many editions that are coming out. Copyright. This is the 1973, 78, 1984, and 86 copyright. Okay, so of the New International Version. Follow along with me very carefully, if you would. I'm going to start at verse 8. You follow along in your King James Bible, and I'm going to start at verse 8. He says, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preached unto you," then the NIV says this, "Let him be eternally condemned." Verse 9, "As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." Now that verse is real interesting in the New International Version for a number of reasons. I'm just going to point out two of them. Number one, you will recall that Paul himself, he includes himself in the warning, right? He says, but the we, he's in the we there. So if Paul at some later point started preaching a different gospel than what he had preached to the Galatians, he himself would be under the curse, right? Well, if the NIV is correct, and it says, "Let him be eternally condemned," then do you realize that all of a sudden that destroys the doctrine of eternal security? Let me say that again, friends. I don't know if you got that. I'm sure you did. You're pretty bright. I had to think about it. But if the NIV is correct in the way they translated this verse here, and it says, "Let him be eternally condemned," and since Paul himself includes himself in the warning, then do you see how that destroys the doctrine of eternal security? Because if Paul himself, which theoretically it was possible since Paul included himself in the verse, then if Paul himself later preached a different gospel, then he would lose his salvation in order to be eternally condemned. That the NIV destroys the doctrine of eternal security. That's the problem. People say no major doctrine is affected by the new translations. Well, how about the doctrine of eternal security? Well, since a lot of them don't believe in eternal security, then therefore they say, well, there's no major doctrine anyway. But friends, that's a major doctrine. It's interesting that of all the things that those who say you can lose your salvation, they say, well, if you could commit adultery or fornication or murder or suicide, you can lose your salvation. Now, I don't ever see them putting this one on the list. How about if you preach another gospel? That should be on the list, their list. But if you read and believe the NIV, friends, I'm calling the task right now. Okay? Don't just dismiss what I'm saying. If you believe the NIV is correct, then you cannot believe the doctrine of eternal security. And don't hem and haw about it. Listen, if you believe the NIV is correct, then Paul himself places himself under the theoretical possibility of the verse being eternally condemned, and therefore Paul could lose his salvation if at some later point he preached a different gospel. Now, I'm not saying he did preach a different gospel. I'm saying look at what the verse says the potential is. Next thing about this translation is this. This is one of the most popular translations that's on the market today. The NIV, the NAS, and so forth. The NIV is certainly one of the most popular. And in their own translation, the NIV, this warning is, if you preach a different gospel than what Paul preached, let them be eternally condemned. Well, man, oh man, Have you ever heard the gospel that they're preaching? Not all of them. I don't want to paint with too big of a paintbrush here, but it's a pretty big paintbrush, okay? And the fact is that a great number of them are out there preaching a different gospel than Paul preached. And if the NIV is correct, then they themselves are under the eternal condemnation of the verse. Listen, friends, I didn't make the translation, but it's the translation they are using. And the very translation they are using, anyone who uses this translation, who doesn't preach the exact gospel that Paul preached, they themselves, according to their own translation, are to be eternally condemned. Now, I don't say that, friends. That's what their translation says. Okay? Now, that's a pathetic translation in that verse, by the way. Okay? Because that's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about being eternally condemned. You know? Well, what then is Paul talking about? When you go back to your authorized version, your King James Bible, notice he says, at the last part of verse 8 and last part of verse 9 in your King James Bible, it says, let him be accursed. Verse 9, let him be accursed. Well, what then does that mean? Well, you know at least something that it cannot and does not mean. It cannot mean eternally condemned. It cannot mean losing his salvation. Eternally been eternally condemned, right? Have to be go die and go to hell like a fire forever, right? Eternally condemned is eternally condemned. It cannot mean that. How do you know it cannot mean that? Well, because Paul himself includes himself in the warning. And Paul knew that he could not lose his salvation. So you know a curse there doesn't mean eternally condemned. Well, what would it mean then? Well, if you read the book of Galatians, you see in the book of Galatians what to be accursed means. And it is a reference to both what can happen is the situation with the reference to a lost person who is preaching a perverted gospel of Christ, but also what the result that happens to a saved person who comes along and preaches a perverted gospel of Christ. You see what happens. Let me show you. Let me show you some examples of this. Look at some phrases here. Watch this. Galatians 3:1 says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? There's one aspect of it right there. A person who is preaching a perverted gospel of Christ, if they're lost, they are not only lost, they're bewitched. A saved person, one who's truly saved and then later on goes back to legalism, hence believing a perverted gospel of Christ, they are bewitched. They're under the curse. Not only that. Look with me at another example. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. Watch this. He says, at verse 8, he says, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, okay, so now they're saved, right? Or rather are known of God. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. See that? There it is. A lost person who thinks that the way to be right in the eyes of God is by observing days, months, times, elements, and things like that, that they're under the curse. They're under that accursed system. They're under that lie, that bewitching system that they think that holds them under that system that thinks that they got to perform. But so too a saved person, one who is already a joint heir with Christ, one who's already a son, an heir of God, and they already know God, or already are known of God, they're turning back to those weak and beggarly elements. And Paul says, I'm afraid of you. That's an example of them being accursed. They're being held in bondage under that false, that perverted gospel. They're under the accursed of that perverted gospel. look what he says. If you'll look at verse 16, this is just another example. He says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" See that? A saved person who gets bewitched by that perverted gospel now views Paul as the enemy. That's under the accursed. Let him be accursed. When Paul says let him be accursed, he says, you know what, just let them just be under the fruit of the message they're preaching. He says, down at verse 21, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, be of the free woman by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which endureth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with their children." There's the accursed. You come along as a lost person preaching a perverted gospel, you are in bondage. You are under the, you're not only lost, but you're under the accursed of that system. But so too as a saved person, an heir of God, a son of the Most High God, a saint of the Most High God, a believer, saved, sealed, justified, forgiven, and blessed, and you come along and allow yourself to be bewitched by that perverted gospel, then friends, you are back under bondage. You and your flesh under bondage. That's why he has to say in chapter 5, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty with Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Being entangled again with the yoke of bondage is the accursed of allowing ourselves to go under that perverted gospel. See that? Well, there's several more examples in the book of Galatians about what Paul means by that. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll have to pick up here next time. There's a lot more to say about these two verses. But let's open this up quickly for Q&A to see if anybody has any questions or comments over what we've talked about this morning. If you have a question, just raise your hand there. We'll give you the microphone. Pardon me. Troll from us, how are you doing today? Nice to have you with us. If you have a moment or two, tell us about the weather. I think you guys are under the blizzard out there, okay?
Good morning, John. Yeah, when I get through here, I'm going to be spending 3 or 4 hours out there at about 5 degrees shoveling snow. So I envy you out there in California. Yeah, we got a monster storm down in the southern part of the state that was record highs. No fun is right. Matter of fact, it's darn cold out there. Tonight they're talking 20 to 25 below wind chill factor with the below zero. And further south, like in Chicago, I bet you Rick Jordan will be glad to get to California. Yeah, but, yeah, campfire. In regard to I enjoyed your message today on a few points, though. On all three points. I hadn't realized that in the NIV that they made that change. But, you know, one of the things on the Acts 20 people in the Grace Movement, I think part of the confusion comes from their failure to recognize the progressive revelation of Paul's ministry. He didn't receive, you know, all his revelations at one time, but the gospel was clear from the beginning, the gospel of justification, as you so aptly pointed out. But I think the problem is they don't see that. Yes, they'll take you to passages where Paul's talking about receiving further revelation and so forth, and they seem to encapsize the whole gospel with everything Paul had received from the Lord, and therefore make this false distinction about two gospels. At least that's my understanding of what I hear him saying, is that failure to recognize the progressive revelation. I thought maybe you could comment on that. And again, yeah, I'll stay warm as I can. Well, moving that snow around, you don't get too cold. Okay.
Thanks for the update, Trophimus. Yeah, I actually talked to Brother Jordan yesterday. I called him in the morning, and of course the blizzard hadn't hit his part of the country yet, but he said it was working its way up from your part of the country, I guess, or something. And they were expecting, I haven't talked to them yet today, but yeah, big blizzard out there. So try to stay warm, bundle up real well, and try to stay warm out there. I think you're right about at least my perception of where I think that they're confusing it, that Paul preached two different gospels during his Acts ministry. I think what happens is that they take some of the things that Paul said in his earlier message and then some of the things that he said in his later message, later in his ministry, which clearly there are some changes because of what you're saying, that the progressive revelation, Christ gives them a little bit more information over time. That's why I tried to make the distinction that if you're saying, not you, but if someone is saying that Paul preached two different gospel messages for justification, well, now that I have a problem with. Because that can't be so. But if what they're saying is that Paul did receive some further revelation later in his ministry about the revelation of the mystery, about the person and work of Christ and what God is doing now in the dispensation of grace, as compared to what Paul received right from the very start, well, certainly there was some progression in that. That I completely agree with. But not if you're going to say that it was for justification and so on. So I think that that's a clarification that does need to be made, and that unfortunately, at least the stuff I've heard and read, I don't see them making that distinction. That's what causes a little concern on my part. Okay, so appreciate your comments there. And again, try to stay warm. And you know, you could come out here in 2 weeks. It'll be warm out here in 2 weeks. Might still be freezing up there, but you come out to our Bible conference, you know. So anyway, thanks for those comments. It's always great to have you. We wish you could as well. All right. Well, I don't see any other hands up. We certainly want to thank everyone for being with us today. Remember that our next live session is tonight at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be finishing chapter number 2 and getting into chapter 3. So hope that you'll be able to join us. And remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. What a verse. That's so true. Thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon. Bye now.